Our argument is 16-1216, Crowfoot v. Murr. Both sides ready? Mr. Nero, whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it pleases the Court, I am William Nero, and I'm representing the Plaintiff Appellant, Crowfoot, Incorporated. We're here to ask you, this Court, to vacate the claim construction opinion and order and remand the case to the District Court for further proceedings.
Can I just clarify this? You have to win on both claim construction issues, right? I mean, if we agree with the District Court on one, there's no infringement. Is that right?
Really, it's the first one. I think that
the neutralizer. Okay.
Correct. I think neutral, even the construction of neutral position is, I think it's a different way of saying the same thing, really.
Okay.
I think it's really unnecessary to go where he went. But
so the first one's the important one.
Correct. Yes, Your Honor. There is a very narrow issue on this appeal. You're correct. As you know from our briefs, that we believe the District Court made a fundamental error in construing the claim term neutralizer and neutral position. First, the District Court read the terms from the specification, the preferred embodiment, into the claim term neutralizer.
Can I ask you this? I didn't see any argument or evidence to the effect that neutralizer is a term that has a customary, ordinary meaning in the art outside the patent to identify a kind of structure, like screwdriver or something. So in the absence of that, one has to turn to figure out what this is supposed to mean almost from the get-go to the specification and right there, or to the rest of the patent, and starting with the abstract, it says, here's structure that we think is part of this term that is otherwise not defined. Why is that not the proper basis for what the District Court adopted as a claim construction from neutralizer?
Well, first of all, I think it's not a coined phrase in the sense that it has a special meaning. If you look at the context of the patent as a whole, what's taking place is attempting to measure a person's imbalance, their pronation or supination, and then correct that in a way that places them in a neutral position. So in a sense, you take the neutral position of the part of the claim and you'd say, well, wait a minute, it's attempting to create this neutral position. And you're using a device and called a neutralizer. So that it doesn't have, I mean, a person of skill in the art understands or would understand the neutralizer to simply be a device that is measuring the individual's imbalance in order to place them into a balanced position.
But why would that not be a purely functional term? A thing that neutralizes, which certainly makes me think of, it probably makes you think of 112F. Purely functional, in the absence of some ordinary, customary, outside the patent understanding of a seemingly functional term as actually identifying a particular structure.
Well, again, I think in the context of the patentee did reference the using a device, he called it a balance analyzer. So that there are references and comments made by the patentee not adopting the concept of neutralizer in every respect, but a balance analyzer. And that the object of the patent is to use a neutralizer to determine something. So that what we're saying is that use a device to determine this imbalance.
But in what way is your view of what neutralizer means something other than the kind of purely functional language that would require application of 112F?
Well, I believe, Your Honor, that the Patent Office itself, in considering the claim of the method patent, brought up the issue of whether or not the neutralizer, the embodiment, or the apparatus of the apparatus patent should be read into the claim one of the method patent. And in traversing that, this is at the appendix 221. The examiner said, claim one of the Ward 465 patent defines a system with a neutralizer, a leveler, and a sled. As noted above, the claim of the present invention defines a method which does not include the elements of claim one of the Ward 465 patent. So specifically, the patent examiner was looking at the concept of an apparatus patent and an apparatus that consists of various structural elements. And as the patentee said, we don't include that into claim one of the method patent. The patent office accepted that, and I believe that would clearly demonstrate that there is patentable subject matter even while using the term neutralizer. I think, Your Honor, you know, court precedent is consistent that even only one preferred embodiment is, if it's disclosed in the specification, is not limiting that claim to the specific embodiment.
No, sure. We've got cases that say that, and
right.
We've got cases that conclude reading the specification as a whole, including what Judge Toronto referred to a few minutes ago, is the sentence right up front in the abstract. Seems almost like a definition that lead you to conclude otherwise, particularly when there's no established plain and ordinary meaning, right?
Well, as again, Your Honor, I think that in this case the district court erred in not really taking into account the person of ordinary skill in the art. A person of ordinary skill in the art, like the patentee, as well as the cited prior art. If you look at the cited prior art, we cite one of them in our brief, the Waters patent. You can see that persons who are attempting to determine some imbalance or some imperfection in a person's balance or gait are using devices that measure. They have to measure. A podiatrist has to measure.
That's not what your patent claims. It claims specifically a neutralizer. And that neutralizer is not used in the prior art, is it? It's not in Waters, is it?
No, it's not.
So it's not a term that is used by skilled artisans. It's a term that was made up for your specific patent. So why shouldn't we look at the definition of your patent for what neutralizer is, even if the concept of using similar devices for balancing is out there? You've come up with a specific structure to how to do it.
Well, I guess that's a point of differentiation here, Your Honor, is that the person of skill in the art does understand that the neutralizer is not that device, that a neutralizer is simply one of any devices, measuring devices, that can render.
But your patent doesn't say use a balancing device or a measuring device or the like. It says use a neutralizer.
Well, actually, it says, as part of the specification, it says, measure a person using a device such as a neutralizer.
Well, the specification may say that, but the claims don't.
You suggest that you're claiming something broader than a neutralizer?
I'm claiming that a neutralizer is a term that is understood by those in the art to simply be a measuring device in order to determine the imbalance of the human foot such that it is can
well,
be corrected.
I get that, but I don't think you're answering the question. There are maybe lots of different measuring devices to balance out the foot, but neutralizer is not, at least based upon any evidence I've seen, a common term used by anybody else except this specific patent. And so when you use that specific word in the claims and then specifically define a neutralizer in the abstract to include three physical structures, why aren't you limiting yourself to a particular type of balancing device that you call a neutralizer that has those three specific structures?
Again, Your Honor, I can only go back to the fact that the patent, looking at the patent as a whole, considering the context with what the inventor is trying to do, it is clear that the object of the invention is to determine a person's imbalance and correct that imbalance by recommending a certain shoe insert. And to the extent that the description is balance analyzer, we're simply trying to get a neutral position that place a person in balance, that a person of skill in the art would
see. It sounds to me like you want us to read the word neutralizer out of your claims and replace it with something broader. But that's not what you claimed. You claimed a very specific term that has no meaning outside the context of this patent.
As an engineer, Your Honor, I think that neutralize is a term that is well understood by
you
technical people.
You didn't say a device to neutralize, or you said using the neutralizer.
I believe it says use of a neutralizer, using a device such as a neutralizer.
Not in the claims it doesn't.
No, it doesn't in the claim. That's correct.
Well, in the abstract, too, the first sentence is using a neutralizer.
Right.
It doesn't suggest that you're claiming that is only an example. And so what else are you claiming beyond that? Anything that neutralizes?
Yes, I think that's correct. But something that neutralizes the supronation or supination.
But that's not what you claim. Aren't you stuck with the language of your claims?
I believe that the broadening language is permissible when the term is well understood in the art. And neutral.
But you point to no evidence whatsoever that the term neutralizer is well understood in the art.
Well,
I think evidence that the concept of balancing to get to this role is well understood in the art, but that's not the language you claimed. It seems to me that you're trying to now recapture scope that you specifically gave up when you used the specific invented term neutralizer as opposed to the concept, which I agree may be more general, of neutralizing.
Well, in the file history, there was never any issue raised with reference to the apparatus as it was understood by the patent examiner. So we never had to give up. We never had to define more specifically or overcome an objection as to what a neutralizer was. So it was really nothing to recapture. The examiner understood the neutralizer for what it was. We traversed any implication that claim one of the method patent embodied or was required that apparatus element of the apparatus patent is read into that, and therefore we believe that it would be proper to so limit the method claim to that specific embodiment.
Okay. Why don't we hear from the other side and reserve the remainder of your rebuttal? Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Daniel Bainan for the appellee. I think it's helpful to understand at a high level, if you recognize what happened during the patent prosecution. When the parent application was originally filed in 2000, the applicant was seeking very broad method claims. They were flatly rejected under two separate individual references. And they tried to amend those, and the examiner again rejected them, this time under a third single reference. And at that point in the parent case, The applicant did a total about face. They abandoned those broad method claims altogether.
I know. I'm a little troubled by the fact that you seem to be relying on a sort of disclaimer, prosecution history disclaimer, with respect to a patent other than the patent in front of us. I mean, do our cases really support your being able to do that?
Well, they do under an estoppel. I don't think it's a disclaimer. I think the appellant, Profoot, is the one who has raised this whole disavowal disclaimer. We never argued that. The court down below never said that there was a disclaimer. I think that's a red herring issue. You know, a disclaimer or a disavowal is a situation where a specification has both broader and narrower disclosures, and there is a disclaimer of something broad in favor of something narrow. We've never argued that. The court never argued that.
No, but your reliance, I mean, there's an argument made with respect to the 465 patent as well as the 568 patent, and I'm a little troubled by that. I mean, each patent has its own property right and its own separate property rights. So I don't understand why you should be, you know, compelling, let alone required, that we take what happened in the other prosecution.
Fair enough. Our point is the case law is clear that when there's an estoppel in a parent or a family-related case, that estoppel can apply over to this patent. Even if you don't think it rises to the level of estoppel, the case law is clear that it's relevant to claim interpretation to understanding that history. But let's focus only on this case.
Why aren't you arguing that we don't even need to look at that, since the abstract of this patent simply restates that same definition of neutralizer that you're relying on from the previous patent?
Well, we do also state that, and I do agree completely with you. You don't need to go into the history of the parent case. Every place in this patent specification that makes reference to the neutralizer is in all cases, every instance, always referring to that structural device that has the housing, the protractor, and the angularly adjustable plate. There is nothing that describes it elsewhere in any other way. And although Profoot tries to refer back to this place earlier in the specification.
How do you respond to your friend's argument that even though they're using this kind of made-up word, that what they're really talking about is this well-understood concept in the art that in order to take the measurements necessary here, they're doing something everybody understands to be a well-established method? Using the word neutralizer isn't intended to tie that down to this specific structure.
Forgive me, but I have to point out that that's exactly what those original broad method claims were that were rejected in the family history. I mean, that was the whole point of that. But putting again that aside, you can't do that when there just simply isn't support in the specification for it. I mean, there's no place where the patentee says that the neutralizer is the balance analyzer. Now, counsel, of course, does point to this one section in column 2, lines 19, but even there, that section of the spec does not equate the term neutralizer and the term balance analyzer. Moreover, counsel has quoted it incorrectly because they want to put quotes around just the term balance analyzer, but that's not what it says. It says the balance analyzer and the foot level control. So even in that instance, it's referring to a hard structural feature. And if you were to take just the term balance analyzer by itself, you know, what is a balance analyzer? You can't, under the teaching of this specification, you can't do any balance analysis as an analyzer without having the person. So if you were to say that a neutralizer is a balance analyzer, well, a balance analyzer also has to include the person, because the person is the one who is, according to the teaching, the one who is doing all of this visual analysis to determine what it is. So there's still no structure. That's the point all along. And, you know, It's only now, for the first time, that appellant is squarely challenging the idea that neutralizer was a coined term. We emphasize that repeatedly before the district court, and at no time did they ever squarely say, no, it's not a coined term. And the reason they didn't is because we begged them time and again, show us where this term has ever been used by anybody, anywhere in this field of use. And of course, it was never cited. It isn't of record because it never was. To the contrary, we cited evidence from an expert, a guy named Sunman, who is the president of a small privately held company which is a prime competitor to both my client and to plaintiff Profoot. And as a competitor, he said, you know, I have been to hundreds of trade shows, I've been to talked with thousands of people in this industry, and I never ever have heard even once anybody make reference to the term neutralizer. And that was something known before we presented that to the trial court.
Can I ask you a question about 112F that I asked earlier? In this litigation or in the PTO, was any suggestion made or argument denied that neutralizer invoked 112F because it was really purely functional, which conceivably could broaden things a little bit. It would refer you to the spec and probably therefore to the abstract for the structure, but they would get equivalence of it.
Yeah, well, that should have been an argument that the plaintiff would have raised in claim construction. They never made that argument. We certainly never made that argument. So Your Honor's question is the first time that anybody has ever suggested that that term maybe would be susceptible to a 112 paragraph F or paragraph 6 meaning. It's never been suggested before, even though and I think it's consistent with Profoot's approach, because they really don't want to have it connected with any kind of structure. They really want to give it a purely functional meaning, a broad analyzer type of meaning. But again, that was the claim that they tried and abandoned and was rejected and abandoned. But I'd also point out that as I read plaintiff's opening brief at page 13, you know, I think they come very close to admitting that it was a coined term. They say here, quote, Ward chose to name his device a neutralizer. And then they even go on and say that term has no inherent structural limitation. That's on page 13 of their brief. And again, this term was never used by anybody anywhere in this field of use before them. If you have other questions on neutralizer, I'll do that, but I do want to respond to counsel's point on the person of ordinary skill in the art as well. I think that is also a red herring argument, because the lower court's opinion is quite clear that he recognized the proper term. He recognized that claims are to be construed in accordance with the understanding of a person of ordinary skill. So, and appellant Profoot has never suggested that he didn't state that test, that standard, correctly. Their argument is that somehow the law requires him to then specifically articulate what was the standard that he used. I'm unaware of any case law that says a judge commits reversible error if he doesn't expressly recite what the standard of a person of ordinary skill was. And I think it would be particularly inappropriate to do something like that in this case, because both sides made very clear to the judge during oral argument that this is pretty simple technology, and it really doesn't matter. We were crystal clear in our briefs on claim construction that we disagree with the definition of a person of ordinary skill. We disagree with the definition that Profoot gave, but we don't think it really matters one way or another for purposes of claim construction, because this technology is so simple.
And I assume the first question that Judge Hughes asked your friend about neutralizer being the real focus here and sort of the claim in dispute that is outcome determinative is your view too.
I'm sorry?
The first question Judge Hughes asked your friend was, you've got two claim construction issues on appeal, neutralizer and then the second?
Yeah, well, I certainly agree that if the court affirms the lower court on neutralizer, that's the end of the case.
Okay.
I do want to just simply point out on neutral position that the arguments that counsel is making now regarding neutral position is directly contrary to the arguments they made in verbally before the judge during claim construction. And for the record, I'll cite you to appendix page X464 and 467, 468. At that point in time, counsel squarely said that, you know, when we're talking about neutral position, we're talking about subtilar neutral where there's essentially no supination, no pronation.
Essentially no?
Well,
one of the arguments that they make against the neutral position construction is that it is too rigorously tied to something like zero off-center.
Well, specifically what Profoot counsel said at page X464 was, but what we try to do is get you into a position that's as close to neutral, which in the patent definition, which we'll get to in a moment, would be subtilar neutral, where everything is in alignment. And then over at pages 467, 468 of the appendix, he says, and subtilar neutral, which is mentioned in the Ward patent, is a biomechanical position that's neither pronated nor supinated. In other words, neither rocked towards the center of the body nor rocked towards the outside. So,
but is the claim construction that the district court adopted, what's the language, no pronation or lack of pronation, and is that a little bit too restrictive?
If the word no, I never understood for a moment that the court's definition somehow precluded pronation like plus or minus 2 degrees, which of course is what Profoot's counsel cites to in the patent specification. It says clearly the goal is to get to zero, you know, perfectly neutral. But it is true that the specification says, and I don't remember the exact phrasing, but it allows for like a plus or minus 2 degree variation. 2 degrees out of 360 degrees.
And your view is that the claim construction the district court adopted encompasses that amount of wiggle room?
It never occurred to me to the contrary. Yes, I believe it does encompass that. I'm happy to answer any other questions you have or not. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Briefly, Your Honors, I believe it's quite correct that a neutralizer is a functional element. It performs the function of measuring the person's balance. Being that there's no clear, express, unequivocal disavowal, I think it's error to limit the claim to the preferred embodiment that's described in the specification. I think it's even worse that he took portions of the apparatus patent claim and then read that into the claim construction. The reference, I believe, to show that the neutralizer is functional, at column 3 of the patent, first line, it says the present invention includes a number of components such as a foot neutralizer. Mr. Bain brought up the issue of the term neutralizer not being used anywhere or at least they could find as a term of art, if you will.
Wait a minute. Can I go back to what you said 30 seconds ago? Column 3 says the present invention includes a number of components such as a foot neutralizer, as shown in Figure 1, a leveler, a footbed, as shown in Figure 5, and whatever. So you're suggesting that means that a neutralizer can be something other than what the district court construed it as?
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Because persons of skill in the art understand.
The next sentence that follows what you just read says neutralizer includes a housing, protractor, and angularly adjustable plate.
As the preferred embodiment. That's the preferred embodiment as being described. It's the only preferred embodiment that needed to be described. We only had to show a preferred embodiment. The law is clear. We don't have to list all of the different devices that can be used to measure a person's pronation or supination. Those of skill in the art understand it to be measurement. And the person that Mr. Bainan quoted himself from the competitor in this field at AmFit, as counsel, my co-counsel said at the claim construction hearing, Mr. Sundeman was asked whether he understood what neutralizer meant, what he was referring to in his patent, because he had the patent in front of him. He said yes. He understood that it was a measuring device, something to use to form the function of trying to determine the person's neutral position.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank both counsel. The case is